listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Vic Carucci with you from the heart of Midtown Manhattan. This is Radio Row for Super Bowl 48, the Sheraton New York Hotel. Just a couple of Peyton Manning throws from Times Square here. And Nathan Zagura, the Nate Dog, is hanging out in Northeast Ohio, and we are bringing you coverage, of course, leading up to Sunday's game between the Broncos and the Seattle Seahawks. The Seahawks having their media day today in New Jersey. And just before Mike Pereira, which was a great spot, the former head of officiating of the NFL joined us. And he, of course, works for Fox Sports now, breaking down the calls. And he'll be part of their coverage, obviously, on Sunday. But just before he stepped aboard, we had heard from Richard Sherman and just stressing that he thought the camera should be on his teammates. It's a great point of view. It sounds like a guy who's had a little bit of whatever you want to call it, some perspective since that big rant that he had at the end of the NFC Championship game that has got him some either, I want to call it wanted attention. I'm not going to buy that it's unwanted attention for him because I think the guy thrives and loves attention. But here is what the quarterback for the Seahawks, Russell Wilson, had to say today at Media Day about the Sherman-Aaron Andrews incident after the game.
In terms of the whole quote-unquote Richard Sherman situation, it wasn't a factor at all. It wasn't a problem. And we know that Richard Sherman is the best corner in the league, and we believe in that. We believe that he does everything. He shows up. He's a great teammate, first of all. You know, obviously, he's one of the best, you know, the best corner in the game. But in terms of what he does on a regular basis, you know, he puts the work in every day. He's an unbelievable teammate in the locker room. He loves the game of football. He's extremely intelligent. You know, he graduated from Stanford with, I believe, a 3.9 GPA. You know, he helps the community. You know, he helps the community. You know, he's just passionate about the game. He just got fired up. That's all that was. He apologized and all that. So, you know, Rich is a great player. We love having him on the team. And he brings the excitement to the game.
All right. So good stuff there from Russell Wilson. And, yeah, good perspective on his teammate.
Absolutely. And as I was saying before, we were rudely interrupted by Mike Pereira, former head of officiating. You know, I had no problem with what Richard Sherman did. I think he was fired up. I think that he has proven himself in the aftermath of it to be a very intelligent, very thoughtful person. He has written a couple of great articles, one immediately after it at Monday Morning Quarterback, MMQB.com. For Peter King's Monday Morning Quarterback, and he actually just wrote another one, 10 Things That He Learned After That, and it was just posted today. I'd recommend everybody check it out. I think Richard Sherman is a guy who is very emotional, very passionate, plays very, very hard, absolutely believes in himself with good reason. The stats you talked about in your article right now, which you can check out at ClevelandBrowns.com about whether or not Richard Sherman is the best quarterback in the NFL. The guy is good, and he plays the game hard, and he was fired up. He was emotional. And this is what says it all to me about Richard Sherman. And this is an excerpt from the 10 things that he learned leading up to the Super Bowl after what happened. No one ever made himself great by showing how small someone else is. He says, that's not mine. It belongs to Irvin Himmel. Somebody tweeted at me after the game, and if I could pass a lesson to kids, it would be this. Don't attack anybody. I shouldn't have attacked Michael Crabtree the way I did. You don't have to put anybody else down to make yourself bigger. So we're talking about a very intelligent, very thoughtful player who was emotional at one point. And listen, he just came out of a very physical and violent game. The camera was there. The mic was there very quickly after that. I like Richard Sherman. I'm a big fan of his, even though he did what he did to, you know, the team that I grew up watching, the 49ers.
I am a big fan of Richard Sherman, and I think he is more calculated than he might have been given any credit for. And I think he's getting credit for that, actually, because the more you're around him, again, extremely bright, extremely insightful, knows what is in front of him, knows he's got an opportunity to really make some serious bank from his ability to communicate, to put himself out there. He's interesting. He's dynamic. He has always had a great sense of media and what it's about and what it can mean to him. And knowing he's put together, while he was with his early days with the Seahawks, videos that were shared by the Seahawks website. And hearing those stories about that, Kevin Griffin, who is the vice president of the fan experience for the Cleveland Browns and oversees all our stuff on the content side, tells stories about Sherman's involvement and how that evolved with him, and using a lot of that as a model for stuff you see now on ClevelandBrowns.com. Players with personality putting it out there with the help of cameras and microphones that we provide for them, and I think that's really a big, big growing aspect of what you offer in the way of engagement between fans and players. And Sherman has gotten that, and he can just do so much. Obviously, how he plays and everything else, how this all plays out on Sunday is going to have a lot to do with it. But this week is working to his advantage. But I like the fact that he's taken such a high road through the course of this week. You get the many sides of Richard Sherman. Pete Carroll, the head coach of the Seahawks, a guy who truly encourages his players to kind of be themselves and have personalities. And I've known Pete a long, long time. He broke into the league as he was an assistant coach way back in the day when I was covering the Buffalo Bills, remembering him as a defensive backs coach. I'm talking back in the early 80s. Now the head coach of the Seahawks. This is his third head coaching stint. He had been head coach of the Jets and the Patriots. Those were unsuccessful. Now coaching the Seahawks in the Super Bowl. He was asked at Media Day today how much he has grown since his first go-around as a head coach in the NFL.
I've changed quite a bit in that regard because I've just grown and just matured and seen things a little bit differently, just like everybody does. It's just kind of a natural process.
Yeah, so, and I can see it in him from a guy who, look, he's got a very distinctive personality, Nathan. He is a guy who loves to go out and shoot hoops, loves to listen to jazz music at full blast in his office at the Jets facility. They used to say this, that you could hear him, first of all, bouncing a basketball in his office, and if you were on the floor below, you were in for a treat because you just heard the pounding of a basketball, the jazz music blaring. He's a guy who likes to challenge players but believes in a positive reinforcement style of coaching. To him, winning in football and winning in anything is taking the best assets of a player and focusing on that and reinforcing that in a positive way. What are you going to do today to succeed rather than you're a screw-up or you screwed this up?
Right. And for Pete Carroll, I think, don't you think this is just a massive shot at not redemption, but just kind of I told you so in the NFL for him to get back to the Super Bowl. Two failed stints, learned a lot about himself, made some changes in the way that he's going to conduct himself and lead this team. And they clearly do have some of his personality, some of the fun-loving, some of the rah-rah, the fired-upness of a Pete Carroll. I think this is a pretty good story for him to be back on this stage.
I think it's a real good story. And, yes, it's redemption to the highest degree. Because of what took place in those two previous stops. Of course, he had great success in between those two head coaching stints with the Jets and the Patriots when he was at USC, and that's really where he remade himself as a coach that earned a lot of and commanded a lot of respect. But, the thinking was, could he transfer that to the National Football League? Could he go from the rah-rah college spirit element of what that is, the emotion of that game, and recruiting players going into the living rooms and making those players believe that they've got to be with him, to the National Football League, where guys are paid, where guys are working on contracts, where guys are playing for their next contracts, where free agency comes into play, all those elements. To see him do what he did, I'll tell you, to me, the defining part of what I've seen from Pete Carroll and why he's been successful, the symbolic relationship of it all is what he's done with Marshawn Lynch. I saw and followed Marshawn closely when he was with the Buffalo Bills, and that was a train wreck in the making. That was a guy who just didn't get it at all and didn't
right.
seem that he would ever get it. You thought just too thick-headed, just too much of a guy who didn't respect anything or anybody around him and allowed himself to be influenced by a lot of other folks and just you didn't think it was going to come around. And what he has done with him, and I'm not going to put this all on Pete Carroll. I want to give Marshawn Lynch a lot of credit for taking accountability. But look at the kind of player he is, Nathan, and look at the guy who gives more effort, who is fighting for more yards, who is true to the idea of trying to excel play after play and time after time on the field than he is. That is a credit to Pete Carroll.
It is, and one of the things in that Richard Sherman article I referenced earlier that he talks about is basically that Pete Carroll is the rock of that team, and Pete Carroll is the guy that they all rally around and creates an environment where you want to give him your best. And I think that's really in addition to the X's and O's, which I think in the NFL today is delegated and pushed down somewhat to the coordinators, et cetera, on each side of the ball, the head coach's ability to reach to his players, motivate them, and extract the best out of them, maximum effort, maximum desire, is what separates, I think, the top guys from the next level of coaches.
No question.
And Pete Carroll clearly does that as well as anybody, because if you're to look at the names, the draft history, now you got to give credit to the GM for finding a lot of diamonds in the rough, mm-hmm. but the maximization of the talent that happens in Seattle is, I think, maybe unparalleled in the NFL outside of what Bill Belichick did this year in New England.
No question. All right, we're going to hear from Gerard Cherry next, making his regular visit to this show. Vic Carucci in Manhattan, Super Bowl 48 Radio Row. Nathan Zagura,
the Nate Dog,
is in Northeast Ohio. We've got much more coming up for you on CBD on ESPN 850 WKNR.